So let's just take a moment just to continue in God's presence and to just recognize the wonderful place that is. It always reminds me of how good God is. It also changes the way I see things when I come into his presence. I see things as they really are and not as I see them outside of it. And in your presence, Lord, I find everything I need. And so I don't want to pray now, Lord, that you just release this word now, Lord. And also, I just thank you so much that we can testify to how good you are. I thank you that we just got a snapshot of stories of your activity in the lives of your people. And I want to pray, Lord, as people share that it will raise our faith and our remembrance that you are good. And you're with us. And you never leave us. And your ways are the best. We thank you for the promise that we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we want to hold to that truth, Lord. We will find the goodness of you in our lives and in our places of influence, Lord. We thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Got mobile phones, you know, and you know what to do with them, don't you? So today is our gift day, and what I want to do this morning is just give a sort of a brief introduction. And I know when people say brief introduction, they go, oh yeah, right, I bet it's going to be a brief introduction. Well, hopefully it's going to be a brief introduction. And then we're going to allow the testimonies of people in this church who are going to just share with us something that God has done in their life recently, just to build our faith, to encourage us, to build us up. And when I was thinking about the service, I've been praying about this over a period of time. And these are always difficult services, sometimes knowing what to say. But the word the Lord gave me was this: God makes a way. God makes ways through what seems to us impossible or difficult situations. In the story of Joshua, the people of God came towards a massive obstacle. They'd been given the promise of the promised land. But the Jordan River was a significant obstacle to what God had given them. They could see the land at a distance, but they had no idea how they were going to get there. And like you and me, they probably thought of all the different reasons why they shouldn't be getting there and all the obstacles that got in their way. But you see, God makes a way. Jesus spoke to Joshua to encourage the people that they were going to go through into the promised land by saying the Lord will do amazing things. So I'm just going to quickly capture as briefly as I can this part of the story. And so it says this: early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. And so the people of Israel were promised the promised land. They knew exactly where the promised land was. The people had been told to move towards the river and to set up camp. And so they're waiting in order for the orders to be shouted out or to be shared that it's time to move. And so they're there for 3 days. And then the commanders of Israel were told then to go throughout the camp and to tell everybody to get ready. And what were they going to do was this. Firstly, the sign of them getting ready would be the ark would be before the people, and the people were then to get behind the ark. The ark was before the people as a sign of God going before the people. And when they were to see that, they were to move out from their positions, for they've never walked this way before. You see, when God asks us to do something, we've never walked this way before. The way to the promised land often is through quite a challenging and difficult journey, because it requires us to walk in the ways that God has asked us to walk. We may see the promises in the distance, but we're standing here and we think, how on earth are we going to get into the promised land? How on earth are my circumstances going to change to such an extent that what has been promised to me is going to happen? God has gone ahead of us. Move out from your positions, for you have not walked this way before. And the great thing about this story, there's always a clincher in there, isn't there, with the Lord. He always makes it just a little bit harder than it should be. And so the time he asked the people to move across the River Jordan was at the time when the river was at its deepest and at its widest. It was the harvest season. It was the time that you and me would choose. That would definitely be not the time to go through the river. But surprise, surprise, it was the time that God had chosen to lead the people towards the promise. But he said, what you need to do is move out from your position, for you have not walked this way before. And he says here, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you. And he talks about the different nations that he'll drive out. And then he says, as soon as the priest's feet step into the water, the Lord will provide a way. And it goes on and says this, yet as soon as a priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge. The waters from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a great distance away at a town called Adam, in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down the Sea of Arabah was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite the Jordan. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. You see, God makes a way. The vision for your life and for my life, for this church and for churches within the city, is that God will make a way. God will overcome the obstacles that are put before us. To us, the obstacles can seem like a great floodplain with the rivers at its deepest. The obstacles are overwhelming, but out of this, God can make a way. For those of you who are familiar with this church, when you heard this as God's plan for this church, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore places long devastated. They'll renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Did you think that God could make a way? Did you think that God could make a difference in a city, in a nation, in a community? See, God has called us and called you and called me to make a difference. Because God has made a way in order that we can follow him through that way. And see, the ministry of Jesus is all about God making a way. And this is very well recognized within this church, this verse here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord's favor is God setting up his way in order to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach good news to the poor. Because God, through the cross and through his life, has made a way. And guess what? He's called us to be part of that way. This is what it says in Ephesians in the Message. The mystery is that the people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The ministry of the way, the ministry of this life, is for those in the church and those outside of the church. It's for both outsiders and insiders. It says this, outsiders and insiders stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ. The message is accessible, and we try and make it accessible by welcoming to everyone across the board. For God has made a way. And the vision for this church is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And we're all outsiders for different reasons, aren't we? Children are quite often outsiders. The old people are quite often outsiders. Students are outsiders, they feel they're outsiders. There's different people in society who feel on the outside. But God's heart is to bring outsiders from the outside onto the inside. Because he wants them to participate with what God is doing within his church. And then he wants the insiders then to reach to the outsiders, so the outsiders can come into the church. It just goes on and on and on. It's fantastic. And so we as a church have a heart to bring those who are marginalized, those who feel on the outside for whatever reason. We often all feel it on the outside sometimes. But God's heart is for his people to bring them into what God is doing. And so there's four things that we've set up in this church in order to facilitate this vision. Firstly, we want to be a welcoming community, both outsiders and insiders. In other words, for those within the church and also for those who want to get into the church or are not quite sure about the church or would like to sort of kind of, what's that all about? So we want to welcome all those through our door, learn to show love, hospitality, acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry. And so that's why we have a welcome team. That's why we've had the life course last term, which we want to do again. We've had the momentum, collecting the students together, just giving them value and getting behind them. We had last Saturday, we had the Clyde music session in the local pub, where we were able to build a relationship with the community and to spend time getting to know each other. Secondly, we want to be a worshiping community. We want to be a church that worships Jesus both spirit and truth, because that is the kind of worship the Father seeks. Thirdly, we want to be a community of transformation, so that we want to be people who do not stay the same. And so we believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, so that we grow in Jesus' likeness and character, because it's transformed people that transform community. If you're not transformed, you don't make much of a difference. But when you let God in, it has an impact on those around us. And finally, we want to be a church that doesn't look inward. We want to be a church that looks outward. And so I believe that we're commissioned and anointed by Jesus to be his witnesses. As a church, we want to learn how to take the Father's love out into the community, the city, the nation, and beyond, thus welcoming the outsider in. And so you know, and we'll talk about, we have things like Kids Club, we have Solace, Prison Ministries, the Liberty Saints Rugby, we have the Bingo, Mainly Music. There are all sorts of things which we can talk about another time. But I was encouraged the other day, I went out with Paddy. Paddy and I have been getting to know this person who's been watching this church for a while, and it's quite interesting what we do. So we went out for coffee with him the other day, and we just shared with him the vision and what we're doing within the church in one of the areas of the ministry. And at the beginning of the conversation, he was kind of looking at us kind of like this. And by the end of the ministry, he said to Paddy and I, he goes, I'm so humbled to hear what you guys are doing. It's just amazing. And here's 10 grand to help you do it. It's not bad, is it? But that's encouraging, isn't it? Because it's God's vision. It's not just kids' clubs, it's all sorts of things in the church. It's the students, it's the young people, it's the children, it's the old people. It's all of us. It's a community of people that God wants to impact and for us to impact. And so what we want to do this morning really is just a reminder that God makes a way. We're going to have a time of testimony. Then we're going to have a time of an opportunity to give on gift day. But then we're going to have a time of ministry, because I believe that there's things in our lives for some of us who need to be encouraged on that way, that sometimes we feel the obstacles are too overwhelming. But I just really feel this morning the Lord's going to break through. I can tell it's going to be one of those. I've had such a bad week that I know it's going to be a fantastic time of ministry. So that's encouraging, isn't it? So I'm going to get the microphone, and I'm going to randomly, I think what I'm going to do firstly is I'm going to invite Melinda up here, who's going to share with us. And Melinda, if you'd like to come up here, that'd be fantastic. And she's going to share with us how what God's done for her and how God's shown her faithfulness going through sort of challenging circumstances. So if I hold the mic and then you go for it. So this is Melinda, everybody. So hi to Melinda.
Some of you will know that the last 10 years have been very, very challenging for me. There's just been one event after another, that have just one catastrophe after another. And when I think things couldn't get any worse, they did get worse. And time and time again, I was on my knees and I was just asking God to bring me through that time. And I couldn't understand it. And it all just piled on to the point where I really just thought, every time I thought I was at my limit, it would get worse. And, it went on. And but yet when I look back, I mean, I can see that God was caring for me, and he was caring for me through my family, who have just been amazing, and through my friends. And I have a real sense that God did really look after me in those times, but it didn't feel like it at the time, because it was terribly, terribly hard. But 2008 was really a turning point, and 2008 was a very shocking and traumatic year for me. My marriage ended that year, which was incredibly painful and something that I just never thought would have happened. But it also meant that I was then just starting out on a new phase of my life, and I just thought, Lord, what am I going to do? I've mostly been a stay-at-home mum with little bits of part-time work. I have three children. How am I going to care for them? How am I going to provide for them? I just really didn't know what lay ahead, but it was a real turning point. And I had this little notion in the back of my head that what I really, really would have loved to do probably was to be a research scientist, but it was one of those little things that it's you so much want it that you can't even really accept that it might ever happen. So anyway, I started thinking about that in 2008, and I started just trying to sort of look at, I was praying and saying, Lord, you know, what can I do? How can I put all these things together? You know, what's the way ahead? I couldn't really see a definite route, but I had lots and lots of ideas, and I just kept sort of working through them and asking God, you know, to show me the way. And bit by bit, I thought, well, what I could actually do is, if I could get funding to go and do research, I could get a qualification that would eventually get me into a sort of job that I would love to do, but I'd also be paid to do the research. And when you're doing research, you can do it more or less in your own time, so I can mind the kids and I can fit it in around the kids. So I started looking into ways of doing this, and I set up a meeting in May of last year with the man that I most wanted to do the research with. And I went and talked to him and I said, here are my ideas. And we sat down for half an hour and we put a project together, and it was as simple as that. He was really interested, and we put together a project that we thought we'd get funding for. And we then wrote a letter, and where the place I wanted to get funding, or the most likely place for me to get funding, is the National Parks and Wildlife Service. So we wrote to them, and we thought, well, we'll wait and see. And in the meantime, I was talking to somebody in National Parks and Wildlife Service called MPWS. So I went in to meet this man, and I had contact with this man through a field club that I'm in. And this field club would be a totally non-commercial organisation, and it's something that's really important to me. It's a place where I've learned an awful lot, and I've made contacts through it, and so it's really very important to me. But it's completely non-commercial, and I was told by people in the field club, people who tell you these things, that you mustn't mention money to this man. You're not to raise the subject of money. So I went in to meet him, and I really wanted to say to him, I'm interested in doing this project. Would you give me background information? So I told him about the project. He says, we're really, really interested in this. My sort of angle was, could you give me the information? And the first thing he said to me is, who's going to fund you? Where are you going to get money? So I kept my end of the bargain, and I hadn't mentioned money, but he straight away said, we'd really like to fund you. So I didn't. He wouldn't be in a position to make the decision. But he started all the balls rolling, and he told me who the person was that would be applying for my funding. So they said, "Well, we'll apply for your funding in next year's budget, but we won't know until next January if you've got it or not." So of course, we're getting closer to January, and in the budget in December, I knew that MPWS's budget had been cut, and I hadn't heard anything, and it was getting close. And the other thing that I had was, I had a little bit of part-time teaching to do as well. But they told me last September that my hours had been cut in half again because of the cutbacks and all the rest. So in December, I had no teaching coming into the springtime. The course that I should have been teaching in the springtime, I was told I wasn't teaching that, and I didn't know about the budget from NPWS. So I was just waiting, and I was really just, I was just asking God again and again, is this right, Lord? If it's not right, just show me the thing that's right. Show me, just open the door for me. But in the meantime, meantime, I was so sure that God was going to give me this money from MPWS that I'd actually started work on the project last May after I had those two meetings. And people thought I was mad, because most people don't do that, you know. They get the money first. But I was so sure, because God just hadn't said no in any sense, and nothing else had come along, so I was so sure. So by December, anyway, part of me was so sure, and part of me was really anxious about it at the same time, because I thought, Lord, I have nothing coming, nothing. Come January, I have nothing I've no income that I know of. And so I decided at the very start of January that even though I hadn't got my teaching hours, I really thought I was going to get those back, because I was really sure that when I got them in the first place, that it was God's provision. And even though a very senior person in the college that I was teaching and said, look, I'm really sorry, there's nothing we can do, we just can't give you those hours, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to get them back. So the very start of January, I got my lectures ready and I started just working on that. And not knowing whether, having just been told I wasn't going to get them. And I was in the college in the middle of January and I looked at the timetable and my name was on it. Nobody had rung me up. Nobody had said, you've got your hours back. But my name was on the timetable. Yeah. So that meant at least I was sorted then for the beginning of February. Now that was only, it's still only one day a week, so I mean it wasn't enough to keep me going, but it was great just to get that back.
How do we get slightly further forward to the punchline? Come on. It's great what you're saying, by the way, it's fantastic. But.
So I was then waiting to hear from MPWS, and I was so sure I was going to hear by January, because that was what they told me all along. So it was the third week of January and I hadn't heard, and I thought, well, I'll ring them up and see. And they said, well, your project is still in the running, but things haven't been finalised and we can't tell you till next week, but we will tell you next week. So next week was the last week of January. The Friday of that week was the last working day in January. So I said, okay, that's it, I have to hear next week. Well, the next week came, and day by day, every day went by and I still heard nothing. And on the Friday, I had heard nothing, and I was to give a talk on my topic on the Saturday morning, and I couldn't write the talk because all I could think about is, am I getting my funding or am I not? And I was speaking to somebody on the phone at 4:30, and I was saying, no, I'd better not ring. I rang last week, I'd better not ring. They said, no, you better not ring. Anyway, I couldn't wait any longer. At 5:00, I rang. And I didn't even think I'd get anybody, because 5:00 on a Friday evening, you don't really expect to get people. But I got straight through to the person that I needed to talk to, and I said to her, do you know yet about the funding? And she says, your project is still in the running, but we haven't got word yet. And I said, it's just I'm giving a talk tomorrow morning, and I was just wondering what the latest on it was. So she said, okay, I'm really sorry I can't tell you, but we will tell you next week. So that was at 5:00. And next thing at 5:30, the phone rang on Friday evening, and it was this girl, and she rang me back, and she said, look, and she says, I just bumped into my boss in the corridor, and he says, yes, he says, you can have your funding.
That's amazing. So. And that's for 3 years, isn't it?
It's 3 years, and I'm so pleased, because it's the first time like I've had some sort of continuity, and I know what I'm doing, and I can just get stuck into it and get working on it.
It's just fantastic. So, isn't that so encouraging?
Yeah.
Because I know you've been through such a difficult time. But the Lord is so faithful, isn't he? Because, I mean, and I remember you saying last time you could not believe the circumstances, because they're not giving out funding at all at the moment. But to see God intervene is wonderful.
Just before I got the funding, I just read somewhere that we were to trust in God. We were to trust in God and not in his promises, or not in the things that he can give us, not in his blessings, was the word I'm trying to find. And I really just feel that, you know, all along, I suppose that was the challenge for me, was to trust in God, because I wasn't getting the answers I wanted for years and years. But even when you don't, it's all about trusting in God. It's not about trusting in his blessings. And in the end, the blessings are coming. And, you know, I'm so thankful that they are. But I suppose, even when they're not coming, we're still called to trust in God. And it's... that's what matters. It's, you know, the blessings are great when they come, but whether they come or not, it's still about trusting in God.
Absolutely, that's very good. Thank you so much, Min. It's wonderful. Thank you. Brilliant. Fantastic. Brilliant. So what I might do is bring three people up at once, because they've all got a similar testimony. I've got Joanna Burke, Martha, and Chris Somerville. Are they able to come forward? They're suddenly. And as we know, at the moment, obviously things are quite challenging economically in terms of the city and the nation and jobs and things. And it's often quite difficult to get jobs. And we've got three people here who've done just that. So if you want to just say, let's try and do a sort of minute and a half each to sort of say what you would, or try. I mean, So do you want to say, this is Marta, do you want to say?
Hi.
And do you want to say your circumstances and then say what happened and how God kind of...
Like really, I'm looking for a job more or less every year. And last year when I was looking for a job, it was today when I was unemployed. And last November, I was unemployed, like I was unemployed till... 3 weeks ago, so it was 3 months when I wasn't working, but like God was working it in such amazing way, like really through his word he was like providing support through a small group, through church. It's hard for me to say that in short time, but like I left my job in November because it was very stressful and I was like, God, should I do it or not? But like it was too hard for me to stay in job. But on the other hand, I was like, yeah, it's recession. It's before Christmas. It's not the right time. The river is, the level of the river is so high. But God said to me, go and I will show you the way. And through 3 months, I was so busy with so different things, with crafts, with church, because like I was here in every Thursday for mainly music, and it was amazing. Like I was so happy that I was unemployed because I could come for mainly music, or different things with Christmas decorations, and like it was a great time. And but still, I was like, God, my decision was right that I left my job. And God was very often, he was reminding, I gave you a promise and I'll be with you. And like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, Daphne came to me and she was like, are you still looking for a job? And I was like, yeah. Would you be interested to work as a receptionist? Because my friend is looking for a receptionist. And I was like, yeah. And next day he called me and he's like, could you send me your CV? And it's like, no problem. And day after he called me, can I meet him? And it's like, no problem. And like 3 days, day after day, I got a job, and it's great. It's not stressful at all comparing to my previous work, and like amazing way of God's work. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Martha. That's really encouraging. Oh, well done. Amazing. Brilliant. And then, Chris, you want to say that? Yeah. So, sorry. Oh. This was saying, what? Sorry about that. Bush. Go for it. Just sort of.
Okay, so I had finished studying last October, and there wasn't much going on in terms of jobs, so I knew what sector I wanted to get into, so I started volunteering with an organization in November, and I was also able to have one or two days off to, which was great, to be able to help other people do things, and have some time to think and to hear and to pray about what best I should do next. And as I was volunteering, there was a training course that came up in advocacy and policy influencing, which is something that I think I really would like to get into. I think it would be really good at. So I went on the course and I told my organization that I was going on the course, and they were like, well, that's really interesting because we don't really have that function in our office. So I went on the course and they were happy to pay for the course, and I came back and I thought, well, maybe I pitch an idea to them to say, well, how about I develop some sort of strategy for an advocacy function within the office. And then so I said it to them and they were like, yeah, that sounds great, so they're gonna pay me, which is great.
That's
to do it. So so I'm there until July to develop this advocacy strategy. Yeah, so
a nice little Willy Dilling there. Fantastic.
Hello,
good job.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done. Excellent. Well done. Go on.
I was kind of in a similar situation to Chris. I finished my degree almost 2 years ago now. I trained as an occupational therapist, and I, like all through college, I kind of felt that mental health was the area that I was most interested in, and was always really enthusiastic about finding, you know, the job for me in mental health. When I came out, there was, you know, like for a lot of people, there was nothing really going. And I was totally overwhelmed by the whole job searching process, and I kind of just avoided, other than the health service set up interviews for all new graduates. So I had sat that interview, which was 2 Junes ago, and was on a waiting list basically with everybody else. So for about a year, I was kind of just waiting on God. And I kind of felt that because I was so sure that he wanted me to do this, that he was just going to drop it right into my lap. And yeah, it took me about a year to realize that wasn't really happening. and it was actually one of the nights in here at Momentum, and I can't remember who was speaking, but they were talking about Moses and how he had to actually move before God could work and God could use him. So I was kind of challenged about the way that I was waiting. You know, I was doing absolutely nothing, and nothing was happening. So I thought, well, maybe I should start doing something and preparing myself for what I think that God wants me to do. So I started volunteering with an organization, and I started an online course. And just doing those things, you know, it was really encouraging to me, because it was moving forward towards where I thought God wanted me to be. And so all through this sort of last year and a half, I was doing home care in the meantime to keep some money coming in and keep me ticking over. But I really wasn't happy, and it was a frustrating time, just because I knew it wasn't where I really wanted to be. And so back about just before Christmas this year, I gave that up in the hope that some job was gonna happen for me. And so I went through like a lot of times of just really struggling and not trusting that God had something good for me. And then I had times of great faith and hope as well. But basically, 5 weeks ago, out of the blue, I got an email from the health service telling me they had a full-time permanent position in a psychiatric department of a hospital for me. After I had sat the interview, you know, nearly 2 years ago. So I really wasn't expecting it. It was just a total shock. So I've just done my first week there. And though it's a whole new set of fears and challenges now, you know, I can trust that God brought me to this point, and he's going to provide me with the abilities and the skills to be able to do that and do it well. So just, you know, he doesn't work on our timing, and, you know, with our 3 or 5 year plans, he has his own timing. And I know that it was perfect for me, and that I wasn't ready, you know, to do this job a year ago, but he's prepared me for it now, and he's prepared that job for me as well. It's just perfect. It's exactly what I want.
Fantastic. So. Well done, brilliant. That's encouraging. Fantastic. Well done, Joanna. So that's just really encouraging, isn't it, within the church, just the way that God knows where we are, what situations we're in, but provides a way. And I just think it's just fantastic that we can trust God for that. And so what I want to finally ask is Salah, who's just going to share with us. Salah's over here. She'll probably say a little bit about Solace. Just the way God has been so incredibly faithful through that as well. There you go. And hold it.
Yeah, so as John's saying, I run an after-school project called Solace in Basin Lane Flats, which is a flat complex just, you know, 5 minutes down the road here, very close to here. And what we do is we target the very most vulnerable children in that area, 8 to 12-year-old children who are basically at risk of early school leaving. And a lot of them have very difficult home situations. I won't go into detail, but these are the kids who are at risk of, yeah, of not succeeding in school because of chaotic stuff at home. And basically, it's just what Solace is. It's a really safe place for these children to come every day after school. Really positive, encouraging place for them to. We have a meal together every day after school, and then we, you know, do homework, so we make sure it's all done, and have a different activity every evening. Then, and they go home at 6, and. Basically, like, it's just really encouraging what's been happening. Like, about 2 weeks ago, one mother of one of the children, who she has kind of severe addiction issues herself, she came to me and she said, look, can I come in to the project and just learn how you help the kids do their homework, because I want to do it at home with my younger children. And it's just amazing to see the parents, not only the children coming on and progressing, but also the parents getting more involved. And that's been really encouraging. But I started it 3 years ago. We're running 3 years now. And for all those 3 years, I've just kept it going by applying for funding from all different sources. Like, we don't have any kind of, didn't have any government funding at the start. So CORE has been supporting us all through the years, and that's been great. But our biggest funder was Dublin City Council. They were the kind of the most consistent and biggest funder for those 3 years. But they're last summer, they said to me, look, because of the recession and the cutbacks, there's no more funding. It was basically cut altogether, which left the project in a really difficult situation, because it's very hard to obviously then compensate for what they had been giving us So that was really difficult, and you know, just before Christmas, it got to the stage where I had to say to the parents of the children that, look, you know, we're gonna have to close down if things don't improve, and it's just got to that close to having to shut down the whole project. And obviously, from the parents, that filtered down to the kids, which wasn't great, because they would come in and they'd be all worried and be like, oh, the club is going to close down. And I said to this, because we always pray before the meal we have each day with them, and I said to them, look, we can bring this to God. We can ask God to provide the money to keep the project going. And it was great. It was so lovely. It was really touching to see the kids, how simple their faith is, and how they just prayed to God that, you know, he would bring in the money to keep it going. And for me, it just forced me really on my knees, going to God, look, I can't see how this is going to, where the money is going to come from. And at that point, God gave me this scripture from Isaiah 45. And it says, I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. And it was really God saying, look, it's not going to come from where you expect it to come from. You know, I had my own plans. I was working hard. I was applying left, right, and center to every possible source I could think of. And here was God saying, look, I'm going to do it. You just need to trust me. And it's really hard, obviously, to trust God in those situations where you look at the bank statements, you have salaries to pay, and the money's just like, you know, going down. But anyway, that's what God said, and I just really had to trust him. And the first thing that happened then before Christmas, before there was even any big breakthrough, people from CORE, from this church, started donating and made commitments. And I was just, that was just really encouraging for me, because at that time, if you humanly looked at it, it was a bad investment to commit money to something that was going to close down. I mean, if you look at it in that way. But yet people, I believe God gave these people the eyes to see, you know, from his perspective, that they were in faith given to something that, you know, God was going to keep going. And you know who you are, and thank you so much for that support, because it really encouraged me. And then what happened just before Christmas, it's like God really kind of, it was 11th hour stuff, just before Christmas, but probably like a couple of weeks before I would have had to start winding things down, this company called Provident came along, and it was actually a contact through the church as well, Gillian and her mom, Frances, who come here, they work for the company. And we had approached them a couple of years ago, had heard nothing for ages, and next thing out of the blue, they come and they visit the project, and I thought I'd have to sell it to them and really kind of try. And they said, look, we want to give you, well, a significant sum of money every year for the next 3 years. And that just completely blew me away. It wouldn't have covered everything, but it was enough to kind of keep going. And then just after Christmas then, we also got government funding, called the Childcare Subvention Scheme, which basically means that now for the first time we're in a position that we have some sort of security for the next 3 to 5 years. And the thing is that what really excites me is at the moment we only work with girls. We work with a girls' school in the area. And if the girls in the area need this kind of a project, the boys need it about 10 times more because the risks involved there. And so now we're in a position where we can actually start planning to start the boys' projects and start planning for that and looking for a venue. And I just think it's amazing that in the middle of recession, God is not in the business of cutting down, or God's kingdom isn't retreating. It's actually, he wants to increase things. He wants things to advance and go forward. So it's just great. He's so faithful.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. So they're five great stories, aren't they, of hearing how God really knows what's going on in our lives. And I think for me, it's just such an encouragement, because so often, as I said in that picture, we see what God's called us to do, we see the obstacles, and we think, oh, goodness gracious, how am I ever going to get there? And on the way there, we're sort of fearful and worried. But actually, we want to encourage each other along that road, because God provides a way. And we've got, and I think the encouraging thing for me is that we have to step out from our positions, from our places of comfort, into God's provision and God's place. And it's when we do step out that God steps in, isn't it? So what we're going to do now is we're going to have an opportunity to give in addition. And we're just as a precursor, is that what we're trying to do with everything we do in this church is to be very, very good stewards of it. I mean, what we want to do is invest it absolutely in the ministries, in the running the church, making sure that we get good deals and everything. So what I'm saying by that is actually what you give us, we value very highly, because we know that what you give us is from you and it's a gift to us. And part of that is that we just want to say that that's our heart, that we want to make sure that everything is spent well so that we can further the kingdom of God, further this ministry here, that you can be blessed and the community can be blessed. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand over to Ruri, who's going to do a kind of a practical giving thing. And then after that, we're going to have a worship song. And then we'll have some ministry, but we'll also give people space to be able to go and look after their kids as well.
All right, thanks, John. Are you excited, guys, about what you've heard this morning? It's an amazing, the testimonies, the faithfulness of the Lord. And what is really exciting and encouraging for me is that so many of the people who shared this morning, the answer wasn't right in front of them. I think so often, as part of us being human, we want to be able to see it right in front of us. You know, we want to be able to see the Lord's provision. And quite often, that doesn't happen. You know, all the stories, people stepped out in faith and said, Lord, I'm believing, I'm trusting you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to trust in my own ability. And as I was thinking about the gift day, because it's a fantastic opportunity, guys, for us to give beyond what our normal weekly or monthly tithe is. And you know, if we all just look at ourselves, you know, we have been given so much by the Lord, and the Lord is not somebody who gives to a minimum. I think he actually gives to a maximum, to a supernatural. And I was just thinking very briefly of just some amazing stories in the Bible. Like, even Paddy shared that scripture from Proverbs this morning, that he who refreshes others will be refreshed himself. I was thinking about the story of the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000 people. So was there any food left over at the end, or did everybody just, you know, they got a slice of bread each and that was it? No, there was 12 baskets left over. That's the God we serve. He's the God of abundance. He's a God who gives us more than we need. In Psalm 23, it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And I think, you know, you might say, well, Rory, there's very little overflowing in my life at the moment. But I guarantee you, most people here have some form of overflow. If you look at, there's many, many more people who are much worse off than all of us here. So I just really want to encourage you guys that, you know, to consider, you know, giving out of the abundance that we all have been given today at Gift Day. So just how is that going to work practically? Well, practically there are these forms here with Gift Day on them. There's a place for your name and address and your own details. And then there's a place there where you can pledge either a lump sum by a certain date, preferably by the 31st of December this year. And or you may wish to pledge a certain amount every month or every week. And I just really want to encourage you that as you step out in faith and give out of your abundance, the Lord will multiply it back to you. It says in the scripture that the Lord is no man's debtor. And I'm just, as I was really excited from what the testimonies we've heard this morning of going into the future, the testimonies that we're going to hear back for this year. So I think we're going to have maybe a worship song, and there's forms here, there's forms on this table here and at the back. And it may be the case, guys, that you maybe need to take it away, the form, with you for a couple of days, maybe even a week or two. That's fine. There's no pressure. You don't need to make a split decision. You might say, oh, I don't have anything. I'm struggling to make ends meet at this moment in time, and I can't, I can't take one of those forms. And maybe you might take it away with you, and even, you may be able to give a tiny amount every week or every month, and that would be really great. So I think the worship guys are going to... Yeah, so maybe just pray. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it could be cash checks, standing orders, anything like that. So just pray as the worship team come up. So, Father God, we again just give you praise and thanks, Lord, for the testimonies that we've heard this morning of your amazing provision, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the provision for this church, Lord, that over 12 years ago, Lord, maybe even more, 14 years ago, Lord, you called, Lord, a group of 50, 60 people, Lord, to raise over 1.5 million pounds, it was at the time, for restoring this building. And you provided in miraculous ways, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that you have not changed, Lord God, and that you are a God of abundance. And I just pray, Lord, for each of us as we have this opportunity now, Lord, to respond. Lord, I just pray that you would lead and guide each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to worship, so do feel free in your own time to go to either front or the back of the church.
My love and my Lord, I pray at thy feet with joy.
read a blessing upon God's people, then there's tea and coffee. I know it's running late, but we would love to pray with those people who it just feels like they've been given what's ahead, but they feel it's very, very difficult getting there. And we just want to be able to pray with you and pray that God would really minister to you, that God would encourage you and keep you focused in what God has called you to do. So we'd love to pray with you after the service. And I'm going to read this out. It's a wonderful blessing upon God's people. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can hear of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We thank you, Lord, for the stories, the testimonies, Lord, of your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. We just thank you for all those things that are ahead of us, Lord, that you are truly with us. And Lord, we want to pray for those who are, need to be encouraged, those who are struggling. We pray now, Lord, that you just touch them and minister to them, Lord, in a way that puts them back on that road, Lord, that they'll be empowered again to walk this road out now. In Jesus' name we pray.